This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabach, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who believes a penny saved isn't jack sh**, Pete Schwabach.
Welcome back to Nightlight. We're going to read some of your texts in just a few minutes. Our question of the night, in honor of Women Rock Day, is who is your favorite girl rocker? I would say Linda Ronstadt and Stevie Nicks are leading the charge, but we've got a Gwen Stefani and Kate from the 715. She's in Stevens Point, just texted in Olivia Rodrigo. Okay. She also texted Chapel Roan. Chapel, is it Chapel or Chapel?
I believe it's Chapel Roan.
Chapel Roan. Okay, yeah. She's one of the hottest things in music right now, too, with Sabrina Carpenter. They all want to be Taylor Swift, and so do I. But we'll read some more of your text coming up. Right now, we do have a special guest later in the show, who I mentioned before, Tracy Thorpe. She was in The Godfather of Green Bay. Very funny scene with Tom Lennon that we'll talk about that she did in that film. But right now, one of my favorite times on Nightlight is always bringing in this next guest. He comes to us from a little town I like to call Madison, Wisconsin. He is the CityCast Madison editor and a very fine TV and film critic also. Rob Thomas joins me now on Nightlight. Hey, Rob.
Hey, Pete. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you as well. It sounds like you've had a very movie-filled break.
Yeah, I don't know if this is just me, but like the holidays around Christmas, like there's just like so many movies coming out that like I'm like you go to the theater, you're binging shows on TV, like that's just part of it for me. It's like consuming a lot of media along with cookies and eggnog with brandy, I guess.
Yeah. There you go. I told last night on the show, Rob, I said I discovered I'm not a beer drinker. And I haven't really had a drink of alcohol in a couple of years, but I discovered through my wife a Blue Moon non-alcoholic beer, and you put like a little orange in there, and I have been sucking those things down. I feel like I'm addicted to non-alcoholic beer, and I didn't even think that was possible. So
that's nice. Yeah, yeah. Those NAs can vary. So you find a good one, you should hang on to it. Yeah.
I'm digging it, but I do have to get back. I have to get back off the non-alcoholic wagon pretty soon. but either way, it is great to have you. Hey, do you have a favorite girl rocker, Rob?
When you said that off the top of my head, I would say Chrissy Hynde from The Pretenders.
Yeah, she's another one we've heard.
And I've seen her live, The Pretenders live. They're phenomenal. And like those first three or four albums, I think are just perfect.
Yeah, they're great. That's a great answer. All right, let's start. I was going to start somewhere else, but since we talked about binging and holiday movies, I'll ask you, because in our text exchange earlier, I told you we went on kind of a zombie kick in the Schwabach household this year with my kids and my wife, and we're not really zombie people. We just kind of ended up in this, eddy or whirlpool of zombies, I guess. But do you watch movies over the holidays with your kids and the whole family, or do you like to lock yourself away and catch up on your work? How does that work in your house?
It's a mix, because it's the end of the year. So as a critic, you're trying to catch up on as many movies as you can to get your top 10 list together and stuff. Right. But then, and I think I've talked on the show before, like I got to watch It's a Wonderful Life. If I can catch Elf, I will. And, my mom and I, when she's in town, we always go out to see a movie. Frankly, the weather's kind of cold. So it's a great time to stay inside and binge. Yeah.
Love it. Yeah. I don't know what happened, but we watched 28 Days Later, 28 Weeks Later, I Am Legend, and World War Z. We just went on this kind of crazy zombie kick, and it's probably a one-time thing, but it's fun when you're all doing it together and you can make your comments and all kinds of stuff.
I like this as an annual Christmas tradition for the Schwab, I think.
Well, thank you for weighing in. I'll see what I can do to further that agenda, that Rob Thomas agenda. So Rob, let's start with, I know we're past the holidays and I should be depressed talking about It's a Wonderful Life because the holidays have come and gone, but you had such a great article on your Substack, which people should definitely check out. Not that Rob Thomas Substack. Rob does great work there. The It's a Wonderful Life. I didn't know that was your favorite all-time movie, first of all. Not just your favorite holiday movie. That's right. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you said something. You say you always notice something different when you watch it. And I like it. I've probably seen It's a Wonderful Life between 5 and 10 times. And there are moments I like in it that make it one of my favorite movies ever. But your attention to detail throughout the film with your many viewings is impressive. And you wrote an article about the swimming pool under the gym floor. Can you elaborate on that a little bit? I really want people to hear that.
Sure. So it's a very famous scene where when George is, I think he's probably 20, goes back to his old high school, and he's wooing Mary, and somebody opens up the gym floor and the swimming pool is underneath, which is actually a real thing at like Beverly Hills High School. It's still there where they put the pool under the floor.
That's so great.
And so it's great. And everybody falls to the pool. Great scene. And so, like I said, I'm watching it this year and George is talking to the principal of the school. And he says to George, putting the pool under the gym was a great idea. And just the way he said it, and like, seriously, this is the 30th time I've seen that movie, struck me like, wait, is he sort of thanking George? Was this George's idea to put the pool under the gym? Because George, like before he, you know, went to the Bailing Building and Loan, and he wanted to be an architect. And so he wanted to, you know, he said, I want to build cities and stuff. And I was like, you know, maybe that was his idea to like, to put the pool under. And I thought that was sort of a neat Easter egg, I guess, for people, you know, and yeah. Maybe there was another scene that got cut where it was more explicit that he came up with that idea. But I thought that was really cool. But one thing that was funny was after I posted that article, a friend of mine, Andrew Abrams, who staged a musical production of It's a Wonderful Life in Madison, texted me. He's like, yeah, we put that in the musical. We made that explicit that was George's idea. So it was like, I'm not the only person to think this. So I just thought that was really a cool idea that like all that was, you know, George's doing that everybody fell in the water.
Here's my journey through that article. When you first said that, that George says that to the principal, I'm like, oh, they're just setting up the fact that the pool, because right. They had access to this. But then I'm like, that's kind of just clumsy writing. It's exposition thrown in there just to get to a gag. This movie is not that. Like, it's impeccable. It's flawless to me. They wouldn't do that. So I think, you know, just what little knowledge I have is just that you're probably right. And I love that you noticed that he threw some plans down or something as I kept reading the article that were architectural right. drawings. It's a brilliant revelation.
Yeah, it's so interesting. I think because I saw it in the theater, it was playing at a Marcus Theater here in Madison. And you could just notice more detail than when you watch it on TV.
Yeah.
And so this is the scene where he has that big tantrum after he loses the 8,000 and, you know, oh, daddy and all that. And I noticed that when he throws stuff on the ground, it's all like architectural drawings and stuff. Like he had a little work area in the living room where he was working on his, like as a hobby, like architecture. So he never, even though he gave up his dreams, he never really lost that. And jeez. So, I just like that movie. I've talked about it a million times, but like, there's just so much in it. And like, every time I go back to it, I think I've seen everything. And then I find something kind of interesting, yeah. some connection like that.
Well, now, and now I want to watch it again. I want to start watching it the way you watch it. Because, to be honest, I haven't really watched it like that. So the movie just continues to be a treasure. Where did you get that snippet from the screenplay? Because you added, I thought that was kind of a cool addition to your article. You added three or four lines of dialogue.
I just searched on the web for the screenplay, and it's in the public domain. That's why my friend Andrew got to stage it for no money. Because if you remember, like the film was like a huge flop. And yeah. It used to be on every channel around Christmas time because it was free to show, basically. Like, it was on public access because it didn't cost any money and the screenplay was out there in the public domain. So I just found it on the internet. And I was like, hey, wait a minute. That's kind of interesting. Yeah.
That is incredible. And that's another reason, folks, to check out Rob's work on his Substack. Not that Rob Thomas. Definitely check it out. Rob is my guest. He is a Madison-based film and TV critic, and he is the newsletter editor at CityCast Madison. Rob, let's get right into some of the films you've seen that I haven't. I have to tell you, a few minutes ago on the show, we were talking about Mike Myers And I find him to be the most asexual male actor, like zero sex appeal. And I have to be honest, this will rankle some feathers. Nicole Kidman is the female version of that. I don't find, I know people love her, but I find her so, like my relatability with her is just not there. It wasn't there in Eyes Wide Shut, which you referenced in your review of Baby Girl. But I just, and it's just her. Sometimes we just don't connect with an actor or an actress. And Ben Affleck is the same way with me. I don't get it. As an actor, love him as a director. But you seem to be a huge fan of Nicole Kidman and the movie.
So this is the movie's Baby Girl. And I've liked her for a long time. Like there's this movie, I don't know if you ever saw it. I think she was like 20. It was called Dead Calm. It was this,
yes. That's she played Sam Neill's wife, right? Or something.
Yeah, that's a little sketchy. But yeah. But she's great in that. That's the first time I saw her in something. And I've always liked her, even though like she's one of those actors who takes a lot of roles. Like she's had like a part in every streaming service miniseries. She does a lot. So it's hard to say I like everything she's in because she's in so much.
Right.
But Baby Girl, where it's sort of a sexual thriller where she has this relationship with a young intern. She's like a high powered executive. Like it's really good. And she's the best part of it. Cause she really sort of plays both the cool collected executive and sort of this person who discovers her wild side. It's the movie I vote least appropriate to see with your parents. So I'm sure on Christmas Day, there are a lot of quiet car rides home from the movie theater. But if you're okay for that kind of ride, it's good. And she's really good. It shows that she can be really good when she's given, like I said, good material. Like some of these TV shows haven't been so great.
The Undoing she was in. And I thought she was really good. I think she's a really good actor.
Yeah, I think she's a good actor. There's one on Hulu called like 8 Perfect Strangers, which lost me like immediately. Okay. And she shows up on Lioness once in a while on Paramount Plus. You know, you kind of like, well, there's a paycheck there. But this is one where I felt like she really was invested and they really used her well. Okay. So, yeah.
The other one I wanted to ask you about, The Fire. We have about a minute left. Sure. So I'll just set this up. The Fire Inside, it's about a female boxer from Flint, Michigan, who's the first gold medal winner. But then what I thought was interesting about this film, and I'll let you elaborate since you've seen it in your review, is the third act is not like most sports movies. And that to me is what I found so fascinating and why I really want to see the film. So we'll start with that when we come back after a very short break here. Our friend Rob Thomas is on the phone. We're talking movies and we will get into The Fire Inside. He's going to tell us what he thought about it coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Tim from Kenosha, he's in the 262, says Joni Mitchell. That's a great one, too. Thank you, Jim. Carla, Aunt Carla, checking in. Conrad's aunt. Patsy Cline from Grandma Krieger and Aunt Carla. Did you know your grandmother was such a huge Patsy Cline?
I didn't.
Love Patsy Cline. And then Joe says, Pink is an awesome female rocker. He's in the 715. Bridget from the 818 says, Pat Benatar. I agree with you, Bridget. And Joe as well. These are all great. I mean, there are no wrong answers. There never are a Nightlight, and we grade on a curve. Right now, Rob Thomas is with me. He is a Madison-based film and TV critic, and he does great work at CityCast Madison as their newsletter editor. Check out his Substack at Not That Rob Thomas. And Rob, what you do? There's so many great films right now, and I find that there's a lot out there I want to see. That's when I look for stuff like that you write or that critics write. What do you attribute that to? There's so many good films right now. Like we talked about, like Conclave, Juror Number 2, The Order, The Fire Inside. Why are there so many great? Is this normal this time of year to have that many critically acclaimed films out?
Yeah, I think it's probably because of the Oscars and award season, and they're all kind of, you know, there's a thought that like you don't want to release your film in the spring or early in the summer because by this time of year, when they're voting or they're starting to vote, they'll be forgotten. Although that's been disproven, like Oppenheimer was the summer last year, but I think that's the reason. And it's sort of an embarrassment of riches because like movies just come in and out of theater so fast sometimes. Like I had really wanted to see Anora, but it just came in so fast. And then, you know, all these Christmas movies come out and sweep it out. So it's a little frustrating. It's not more spaced out because there are definitely weeks where you're like, well, there's nothing playing that I want to see like in, you know, January or February. But right now, yeah, there's so much stuff.
Yeah. I honestly, like Anora is another one I want to see, but my theater is kind of in a small town. We're not getting Anora there. We're not getting, I think Nosferatu is there. I want to see that. He's not a zombie, but he's a vampire. That's close enough. So I'll watch it.
Close.
but let's talk about The Fire Inside. This sounds like such a great film and it's been on my radar for a few weeks now. And, you saw it.
Yeah. Based on a true story. As you said before the break about, this teenager basically from Flint, Michigan, who became the first U.S. gold medalist, first gold Olympic gold medalist from the U.S. for female boxing. And, you know, the first hour of the film, it's sort of a familiar sports film, very well done, very well acted, her and her coach. You know, they sort of work their way up the ranks, and then they go to London in 2012 for the gold medal fight. And then she wins. And you're like, and it's only an hour into the movie, and you're kind of like, oh, that's interesting. You assume that would be the finale. But as you said, the third act is really interesting because it's like she comes home and she's got this, you know, medal, and really nothing has changed in her life. Like she's still, her family's really struggling. She's not getting endorsements, I think, because sort of advertisers aren't ready to put a female boxer on the box of Wheaties. And so she has to really kind of dig deep. And so it's really interesting because I thought it was an interesting lesson where, you know, just because you achieve something, just because you achieve like the thing you want most, doesn't mean all your problems are solved. Like there's still a lot, you know, I said in my review, if at first you don't succeed, try again. And if you first you do succeed, you still have to try
again. That was great.
Yeah. And so I thought that was super interesting, and it makes it for a much more interesting sports movie than I think people expect. It was written by Barry Jenkins, who did Moonlight, and directed Mufasa, which is in theaters right now. And the director is a cinematographer, Rachel Morrison, who's phenomenal. It's a beautiful movie to look at. And I thought it was really good. And like I said, very surprising. Like it was not the sports movie model at all that I was expecting.
Yeah, I had a desire to see it, but after reading your article, I was like, oh, now I really want to see this. I love what they did. Usually every sports movie, the finale is the conquest or the, you know, the win or whatever. But it sounds great, and it's gotten excellent reviews. Did we talk about Juror Number 2 the last time you were here?
No, I haven't seen it. I really want to.
Okay. I just saw it. We'll save that for when you've seen it. I'm curious to hear your thoughts on that. I just watched that the other night. And I watched The Order, which I really enjoyed. Did we talk about that? And if not, I don't think we did. But have you seen The Order?
No, I'd seen it, I think, last time, but we didn't really talk about it much.
Okay. Yeah. Good movie. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. I mean, it's based sort of like a crime thriller based on a true story about these white supremacists and the Colorado, Idaho, Wyoming in the 80s. Jude Law, who's like the prettiest man in movies, really looks roughed up as the FBI agent going after him, does a great performance. And there's some sort of robbery scenes that remind me of Heat, Michael Mann's Heat.
Yes.
So, I mean, it's first and foremost a crime thriller, but just all these echoes of like some of the things we're dealing with today with white supremacy and stuff was being a really interesting movie. I think it's probably on streaming by now. I'm not sure if it's still in theaters, but good movie. Yeah.
You know, Nicholas Hoult, this guy is on a roll,
right?
Like I'm like, you know, he was in The Order, and then I read that he was in, he is the Juror Number 2.
Right.
And he was a war boy in Mad Max Fury Road. And he has that kind of a face where it's that defined that I'm like, oh my God, that guy was in, like, I saw him with his regular face and recognized him with the white powder as a war boy in Fury Road. He's got a really unique look, but he's a really, really good actor.
Yeah. I mean, people, if you ever saw About a Boy, like this is going to be 20 years ago with Hugh Grant, he was the kid in that movie.
Oh,
and
really?
He's grown up and become this great actor. He's also in Nosferatu, right? He's like,
yes.
Yeah. I haven't seen that yet either, but
he's in like quite every year. Movie yeah. right now where yeah, he's right. playing a bad guy in The Order. Nosferatu, he plays the husband, I think. Yeah. I haven't seen it yet. And then, and then in Juror Number 2, he's the main character too, working with Clint Eastwood. It's what a run this guy's on. But that makes sense that he's been in this racket a long time because he's definitely seasoned. He's really good.
Yeah.
Can we keep you for a few more minutes, Rob? I want to get Absolutely. Into your, all right. So Rob Thomas is here. He made a top 10 list that you can also check out on his Substack, Not That Rob Thomas. We'll talk about some of the movies Rob has on his top 10 list after the news. Award-winning news, I might add, from Civic Media. We'll be right back, and then we have a surprise guest after Rob. You're not going to want to miss that. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
There's a problem with feathers, iron, bargain buildings, weights and pulleys.
I think I might have a problem. I'm really jonesing for a non-alcoholic beer right now. I'm starting to think maybe those are not so non-alcoholic.
The Blue Moon right now?
The Blue Moon. I need a Blue Moon. I need the orange and the whole shebang. Hey, we're talking movies and TV. We have a special guest coming up after we let Rob go and get on with his Friday night, which he is generously spending time with us tonight here at Nightlight. Rob is a film and TV critic from Madison, Wisconsin, and he is also the CityCast Madison newsletter editor. Check out his work at Not That Rob Thomas Substack. So, Rob, all right, you did a top 10 list of movies from 2024, and I realize what a novice I am when it comes to movie watching compared to you. You have great movies on there. Number one was I Saw the TV Glow.
Right.
I have not seen that. It's supposed to be great.
It was fantastic. It was sort of a strange year where, like, there were a lot of great movies, but there were no, like, Oppenheimers where you were like, oh, this has got to be on my list. Or, like, if you don't put it on your list, you know, it's just a juggernaut. You've sort of made a choice. There are a lot of little movies, like I Saw the TV Glow, that were really great. But I don't know. It just was a very scattered year. I don't know if it was because of the strike last year. There weren't a lot of big films by, you know, major filmmakers. But I Saw the TV Glow, I thought, was phenomenal. It was by this filmmaker, Jane Schoenbrunn. And it's really hard to explain. It was sort of billed as a horror movie, but it's not. There's no scares in it, just kind of unsettling about these two high school students who become obsessed with this old TV show that's sort of like, it's kind of like Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and how that they sort of go deeper and deeper down the rabbit hole and how it sort of affects their identities and stuff. And there's sort of a transgender allegory, but it's also, you know, more broadly about sort of like, you know, being who you are and the psychic cost of not embracing who you are, which is, I know I'm not explaining it very well. I know it's streaming on Max, but fascinating movie. And it was the one that's just sort of kind of lingered with me through the rest of the year. Not like I would say like this was a masterpiece, but it just really stuck with me.
Oh, I've heard a lot of people say that. It's one of those movies that's gotten enough buzz where I'm like, all right, I have to see this. You also had, speaking of movies that come out in the summer that are kind of forgotten when it comes to Oscar season, and we talked about Mad Max Fury Road, was Mad Max or Furiosa, a Mad Max saga, which did not have the punch maybe as Fury Road, but was a phenomenal movie. That made your honorable mention list.
Yeah, I think Fury Road was definitely my top movie of the year, that 2015, same. I think, or something. Furiosa, which is a prequel, super interesting, you know, suffered a little bit from the prequel thing where it's like, oh, we got to show you how this happened, how she lost her arm. Well, right. You know what I mean? Sometimes I get a little weary of that. Like, you don't need to spell out everything, but right. There's a super interesting, look at it. So, I mean, obviously some fantastic action. And I thought Chris Hemsworth was really, really good as the villain. Like,
yes.
Like, I'd never seen him do anything like that before. I thought he was really good. So, yeah, didn't quite make my top 10, but it was definitely in the top 15 or 20.
You had Dune 2 was your number 2. That was a really good movie. Yeah. Talk about great.
To me,
that reminded me a little bit of Oppenheimer, just in the scope of it and the sound and how powerful it was, even though the story isn't similar, if that makes any sense.
Right. No, absolutely. Yeah, and I saw it on IMAX. With my wife, who didn't understand a single minute of it, but I think still really appreciated it. But yeah, that was a movie from like February, right? And I think that
right.
was, and I just kind of knew that would be on my top 10 list for sure. Timothée Chalamet, of course, is having an incredible year. The last movie I've seen was The Complete Unknown, and that's number 8 on the list. So, yeah.
So is that worth all the Oscar buzz it's getting, the Bob Dylan biopic, A Complete Unknown?
I loved it, and I'm not even really a big Dylan guy. Like, I respect him, but it's not like,
sure,
you know, some of these guys are obsessive where they just follow, you know, they have all the bootlegs of all the shows and stuff. I think it's a great movie. I think it really captures what makes Dylan so special and also kind of polarizing. You know, I mean, he seems like a very difficult person to be around, but also undeniably a genius. It sort of covers the first 5 years when he's in New York, when he starts off as kind of a folky and then becomes electric. And I thought it was great. Yeah. And Edward Norton as Pete Seeger is just phenomenal. That's
oh, you
a great
said that in your article. Yeah. That's
yeah,
so cool.
He's so good.
What's a film from this list, your top 10, that we haven't discussed yet that people should definitely go see?
Well, I think maybe we talked about Flow, animated movie last time. That's a movie I'd recommend to anybody. It's an animated movie about, it's sort of like an incredible journey. If you remember that old movie about like a cat that gets caught in sort of a flood, sort of mysterious flood. There are no humans around anywhere and has to survive. Just a beautiful looking film. And I think it's still in theaters and would be great for families to watch on the big screen. And very different from like, you know, Hollywood animated movies. It's made by this like one guy in Latvia. And it's just a great surprise. Yeah.
You have on this list too, a film that we've talked about before, but another one I think people should see just because I don't know if it's like Flow, but just from the standpoint that it's so different than anything you'll see in the theaters or even on streaming for that matter. And it's Hundreds of Beavers. Such a fun movie.
I wish I had the courage to make that the number one movie because it was that was by far the best experience I had in the theater this year or last year. I saw that in Madison and it was like 600 people at the Barrymore, which is like a theater here.
Yeah.
And, it's like these guys from Wisconsin made it in the, you know, in the UP, I think, and, you know, for like $150,000. And it's sort of like part Buster Keaton silent comedy, part Bugs Bunny cartoon, part 80s video game. And it's
so
just
fun.
So funny. It's just so great. Yeah.
All right. Well, we've certainly given people a lot to ponder here during our time together, Rob, as usual. So definitely there's a lot here to check out. Check out Rob's article on Substack about his top 10 movies from 2024 and the new things he's seen. Maybe next time we can get to Conclave, which I really enjoyed too. And yeah. Juror number two. So I'll try to watch a few more zombie films too before you come back next time. Fantastic. Thank you so much, buddy. Have a great night. And thanks as always.
You too, Pete. Thanks.
Okay. That's Rob Thomas. So we are going to get our special guest on the line, Tracy Thorpe, who is in The Godfather of Green Bay and has a really funny scene with Tom Lennon. We're going to talk to her about that. Right now I love these texts we're getting. My friend Dave, who always texts me personally, says, Carole King, in response to our question tonight, which is, who is your favorite girl rocker? It is Women Rock Day, National Women Rock Day. And Dave says Carole King, and it's not even close. Okay, love Carole King. Kate from the 715, she's in Stevens Point, says another one is Paramore. I'm not familiar with her at all. So, and then we have, of course, Steady Eddie checking in. He's in the 608. He says, Pete, my favorite woman rock and roller is Joni Mitchell. Check out the songs Both Sides Now and Big Yellow Taxi. I am familiar with them, Eddie. Great choices. He continues saying she has a unique and beautiful voice, and she wrote her own songs. That's huge, too. I also love Carole King. Her song So Far Away is sad and beautiful. If you want happy, listen to her Up on the Roof. Both women are in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Pete, I got to go with Peyton over Eli. Omaha, Omaha. He says Snoop Dogg, more like Snoop Hogg, cha-ching, cha-ching. I agree. Love the guy, but go away for a while. Take a vacation. Count your money. And tonight he signs it Steadfast Edward. I'll add another one to that list, Mariah Carey. She recently became like the number one selling solo female artist or solo artist of all time. I think she passed Elvis. So you have to give her some consideration too, especially since she sang my favorite Christmas song, even though I don't know a ton of her music other than the Christmas song. I do love it. And I have to wait another 10 months to hear it. All right. So as I mentioned earlier, folks, we have a special guest. Her name is Tracy Thorpe. She's a very good friend of mine. And periodically, I'll have people from a movie I made called The Godfather of Green Bay on the show, cast members, producers, whatever. And Tracy was part of the cast. During the making of that film, we had our sort of tentpole actors, Tony Goldwyn, Lauren Holly, Thomas Lennon, Lance Barber ended up becoming that. But we also found some great actors just through the audition process. And Tracy is just a gem who brought so much to the movie and added so much nuance in her character as just kind of a small town fun barfly. And she plays Lauren Holly's best friend in the movie. Tracy joins us now on the telephone. Tracy, how are you?
I'm great. And boy, I hope my check goes through after that intro. That was fabulous. Thank you.
If I had the money, I would have flown you in just to be on the show for a few minutes. I don't have that luxury, but it is great to hear your voice, my friend.
You too. How are you? How's everything?
I'm doing very well. I talk about the film every once in a while. And as I mentioned, you know, the Bears play the Packers this weekend, and that was kind of a theme, not a theme in the film, but sort of a background story. And you were so much fun. I directed the film. How did you hear about the role of Janice? You played Janice, Lauren Holly's best friend. How did you hear about it? Was it just in breakdowns, or did you have a friend associated with the movie? How do we find you?
My agent called me in for it, and I was with Getty's in Chicago at the time.
Okay.
And they just put me on tape for it. This was back when you usually did things live, but they put me on tape for it, and I got the greatest call of my life when you chose me.
You just like people like you and Eric Price from Milwaukee that we found, and Rob Martin from You just find these people, and it's like, oh my God, they just elevate the film, just the power of acting. And, you know, we have a scene I want to play for you, and this is you and Tom Lennon in the booth. And somebody posted this clip years ago. It's called Last Call. I don't know who did it. But you and Tom are about to pair up at the end of the night, and I have to set this up because it's mostly cinematic and this is radio, but you'll hear a little bit of dialogue. It's two people, Tom Lennon and Tracy, in a booth, and Tom asks her kind of an obscene thing he wants to do, And I'll just say this, Tracy nods, and then she checks her watch, does a shot, and the way you wrap your mouth around the shot glass like it is so late in the night is so funny. And then you change your mind, and the two of you start going at it in the booth. So I had to set of that up. So let's play that clip, and then we'll come back and discuss it for a couple of minutes. Tracy Thorpe is here. Here is Tracy Thorpe's work from The Godfather of Green Bay.
Miller Light and a shot of Jaeger.
Whoa!
So you bring home the night. Maybe I'll be all right. I promise not to feel no pain. No one will say a word. The lessons I learned. Won't you lay on the September rain? Won't you lay?
Oh my God.
The makeout sounds are just priceless. And the sighs from both of you, just like with the bar about to close and, you know.
You're the last one left.
I love how you shut him down. He asks if he could touch you. You say no. You do a shot, check your watch. All right. You guys start making out. So you got to check out Tracy's work if you can in The Godfather of Green Bay.
Oh, my goodness.
You could stream it on Prime, Tubi, Fandango, I think Apple. Tracy, can you hang with us for a couple more minutes after a short break? Okay.
Sure.
We're going to talk to my friend Tracy Thorpe here. We'll have a few more minutes with Tracy when we come back on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Just another night, another vision of love. You feel joy, you feel pain, cause nothing will be the same. Just another night, it's all that it takes to understand the difference between lovers and fakes. So baby, I talk, talk, I talk to you in the night, in your dream of love so true. I talk, talk, I talk to you in the night.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Great text tonight from everybody. Thank you. It was National Women Rock Day, so we asked the question tonight, who is your favorite girl rocker? We've had some phenomenal answers. If you want to get in on the fun, please text us in the next couple minutes, and we will read it on the radio. Monday, I will be live from Madison, and we'll have singer-songwriter Katie Scullin in studio. She's phenomenal. You won't want to miss that. And then our old pal Matt Miller, the Milwaukee film and TV critic, will join me after Katie. So there you go. Right now, we have a few more minutes with my friend Tracy Thorpe, a very fine, hilarious actress and comedian. Who joins us to talk about her role in The Godfather of Green Bay. The Bears play the Packers on Sunday. That was kind of a background theme in the film. Tracy plays Lauren Holly's best friend, Janice, who ended up making out with Tom Lennon in a booth, in a bar, at closing time. It's an age-old story. Boy meets girl. Girl shoots boy down. Boy is persistent. They end up making out. So, Tracy, like, what was that? Was that a good experience for you overall? I think we had you for like a week. It was so much fun having you on the set.
Fantastic. I honestly, it's not just me saying it now because you're there, but I mean, that was probably the most fun I've ever had on a film in my life. And just all the people, I'm still friends with all those guys. I knew Lance beforehand, but I met Tom. I met Eric, you know, met yourself. And you know, we've all stayed in touch. It was just such a great, in fact, Lauren, for a long time, we used to write back and forth because she ended up moving to Lake Forest. So we kind of weirdly kept a email thing going for a long time. She was fantastic. It was just great. Really, truly, I can never thank you enough.
Well, right back at you. I mean, I was thrilled. I mean, I was a novice. I had never directed anything before. So I thought, you know, oh, my words are so sacred. But then you get these actors in there who are so talented and take your material to another level. So I thank you. So where are you now, Trace? Are you in Chicago or L.A.?
I'm in L.A. still, okay. And I still keep my toe in there and get the occasional TV, you know, more coffee, sir, type of role. I still keep cracking at it. And,
oh,
you
that's
know, it's
great.
Funny because the older you get, it does narrow down a bit. So
yeah,
I do seem to get sent out more at this age in a weird way. So it's been kind of fun just to keep at it. And oddly enough, when I moved from Chicago to here, it was the first time I had to get a side job. I lived on my acting in Chicago for almost 30 years, and then I moved out here, and I was moving to the Mecca, and instead I had to get side jobs. But it's still fun. I still love it as much as always, and I'll keep ticking for as long as they'll take me.
Oh, I hope so. That's so great. You were on Curb Your Enthusiasm, though. What was that like?
No,
was that a good experience?
That was such a fun day. Yeah. It's just they kind of tell you the basic outline of what they want to do, and then they just let you play. Scene was with Larry David, so it couldn't have been more fun to just improvise with him for a few hours.
Oh,
it was really great.
Man.
Very fun.
What a kick. What was he like when the camera wasn't rolling or when he yelled cut or when the director yelled cut? Was he like talkative between takes? Did he mostly save it for the camera? What was that like?
He honestly is so sweet. Like he is just a very, very lovely man. And, you know, he comes off as this curmudgeon as his character, but he was actually one of the most giving improvisers and like laughed at stuff that was not really worthy of watching at. And, you know, he'd encourage, like, yeah, more of that. Let's do that. I thought he was really wonderful.
That is so great. Well, I'm sure you brought as much to your episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm as you did to The Godfather of Green Bay. Thank you again for being part of the project. I'm glad we've reconnected here. And thanks so much for taking time out to talk to us tonight.
Thank you so much, Pete. I wish you and the whole family the very, very best. Thank you so much for reaching out.
Thank you, my friend. Have a great night, Trace.
Thank you. You too.
All right. That's Tracy Thorpe. Good night, Tracy. Check out Tracy in The Godfather of Green Bay. Another one of those little character moments in the film that is just so funny. And Tracy just crushed it. She's hilarious. So I'd like to thank all my guests tonight. Rob Thomas, Mike Clemens, and Conrad Krieger stopped by for a little while tonight to be on the show, which is nice.
Well, I stayed for about 2 hours.
You got to get out of here, I know. I should point out in the clip we just played with Tracy and Tom, that was the Bodines who provided music for the film, too. And
cool.
Kurt Newman wrote a score, and it was kind of an all-Wisconsin movie, so that was fun, too. So thank you again to the Bodines and Tracy Thorpe as well. Thank you for your texts. What didn't we get to? Did we cover everything tonight?
Did we?
I don't know. I'm worried we forgot something.
Where are you on throwing out your fruitcakes?
Okay, I have a rule in my house. I don't do fruit with cake. I love fruit. I love cake. I'm not putting the two together, honestly. Oh. Like fruit works in pie for me. I can't do fruit cake.
Strawberry shortcakes.
Oh yeah.
Those things are good.
But the fruit is not in the cake. You're not corrupting
It's on top
the texture of the cake with fruit or vice versa. So I think that's why that works for me, or like a parfait I can do. But yeah, no, that is interesting. But yeah, I don't know. Do you like fruitcake, though?
I honestly don't think I've ever tried it, to be honest.
It's kind of nasty, I think.
I don't think I've actually had an opportunity to actually be like, yeah, give me some fruitcake.
The exception would be like, I like a good banana bread, a warm bread with banana and some butter.
Love banana
bread. Forget about it. Yeah. However, I have a funny story regarding fruitcake. I went to meet my wife's family once, and I could not do fruitcake. It used to really repulse me. So her aunt serves me this huge piece, and I said to my wife, I can't eat this. Well, rather than offend her aunt, my wife ate the second piece of fruitcake to make me look good.
There you go.
That's when I knew I had to marry her. Hey, thanks so much, everybody, for being with us. We hope we made your night a little more enjoyable tonight. Hope you had some laughs. And you definitely learned about some new movies you have to check out, thanks to Rob Thomas. And check out the Bears and Packers on Sunday. We will be back Monday night live in Madison, and I hope you join me. On behalf of the lovable producer Conrad, this is Pete Schwabe saying good night, Wisconsin.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.